Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could, please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those. And definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Kevin Carter and Paul Matt is joining me this evening. Mr. Carter, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing well.
Good to hear, my man. So good to have you on the show and good to have you coming through and talking some football. So, Mr. Matt, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I am feeling the best that a almost 0-2 guy can be, but hey. 1-1. It's a new season. We're here, baby. Hey. We're here.
Hey, must be nice to have a victory. So, but we'll dive into that about our team's outlook going forward in the podcast. So, Jim, let's get right into it, man. It's something about these dang injuries that's powering up, and we saw a gruesome one last night with Nick Chubb. So, Nick Chubb tore multiple ligaments, or at least that's what's suspected. At least that's what we saw. Left knee went inward. It was pretty much the same knee that he had toward Georgia. Chubb is the four-time Pro Bowler, four consecutive 1,000 rushing yards. He's pretty much the cog of the Browns' offense. So I wanted to pick y'all brains about this man injury and thoughts about it in relation to the Browns' offense. So.
He's also the last running back to actually get a significant contract. So
yeah,
he's a dying breed in that category as well. He recently signed a 3-year, $36 million contract. And he was the last kind of running back to get paid. He was the workhorse on that team before they brought in Deshaun Watson. And it's kind of one of those things you look at of, is this why we're not paying running backs? Because it just takes one play like that and, you know, all that money's out the window. I mean, it's scary for sure.
But that kind of injury could be for anybody, though. So do we just want to stop paying everybody? Because anybody can get hit like that and their leg go completely backwards. We've seen Dak Prescott ankle go completely sideways. We've seen other guys get whacked like that. It's this crazy thing that now all of a sudden nobody just wants to pay running backs and all that stuff. It literally gets on my nerves because these guys should be getting paid just like all the other premium positions too, because they do just as much, if not more work than everybody else. And their time is limited on doing it because everybody think by the time they hit 30, they're already worn out and they throw them out the pasture.
Well, they got these running backs that hold out and then they come into like a little bit late into training. So like now you look at it, you got Austin Eckler who's dealing with an injury. Saquon Barkley is also dealing with an injury as well too. And both of these guys was holding out for, you know, new contracts. So do y'all think that's to play a part of it? And them not being on time for OTAs and trying to get paid as they're worth. Listen, it's not me trying to dispute that the running backs that position needs to get paid. And it's unfortunate that you had to see an injury go down like this, but there's little knick-knack injuries that these running backs are having. So, I mean, what's the state of the running back now? Because we've seen the game is going in a different direction now.
I mean, I think if you look at someone like Austin Ekeler or Saquon Barkley, like those guys were training all offseason, regardless of if they were with their teams or not. I mean, those two guys are in peak physical condition. I wouldn't worry about that per se. I mean, a little less contact on a running back, probably for the better. I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's just like, you know, you're dealing with ankles and knees. It's hard. It's hard to do, especially when you're a guy like someone like Saquon is bound to get hurt. He plays like 97% of the snaps on offense. So, I mean, I'd expect it to happen at some point just because of his volume. I mean, he's literally in there on every single play. He is essentially the third down back for them as well. So, but again, if you're losing a guy that much and you don't want to pay a guy, it really doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'd understand if you're in one of these two back systems where you're mixing it up a little bit and you're, you know, 50-50 workload or, you know, 60-40, but
or just don't like, use them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, like I said, I think Saquon played 97% of the snaps. And the reason why he didn't finish probably all of them was just because he got hurt. The guy would have probably played every offensive snap the other day. And it's just, it's wild that you take somebody like that and you want to put him on a franchise tag and, you know, have him try to work for a long-term contract. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And the two guys and the two running backs you just mentioned look what happened to the Chargers. He don't play. Look what happened. And yeah. Saquon is that team. Like, you have to, everything has to run through him. There are running backs in this league that their offense literally runs through them. Look at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry went down. Look what happened to Tennessee. It's this. There's certain guys that they deserve it. Yeah, you can go to the likes of Kansas City and Philadelphia and places like that to where you can rotate in whatever running back you want to because you're going to do it with all the other positions. But, man, some of these guys are just the offense.
They are, and you're running through offensive linemen, and you're running through going through these gaps, and you got to meet a linebacker that's meeting you at full speed. You also got to get tackled by a big defensive lineman. So, and then you got to go out there in the perimeter and then juke a little bit, and that is kind of putting strain on your joints. I just think the running backs, I don't know what the solution is. I'm thinking maybe you need to do more guaranteed contracts with shorter length of the contract, maybe 3 years, and they get like 85% guaranteed money. I'm just spitballing here, but these running backs need to get paid because it's funny that we're talking about these running backs in the sense that majority of these guys are the workhorse for the offense, but they're just being treated like, okay, 5-6 years, you're done. You're gone. Ezekiel Elliott at one point was talking about being an MVP candidate. Now he's playing a backup role for New England Patriots because he just got worn out so much running between the tackles and the guards. So any solution y'all can think of that y'all can,
I think it'll be interesting to see someone like, so for example, right? So you got your top five running backs salary wise, Derrick Henry at 16.3. Nick Chubb, 14.8. Josh Jacobs, 11.7. He's pretty much on a franchise tag. Tony Pollard, 10. He's on a franchise tag. Saquon Barkley, 10.91 franchise tag. And then you have guys like Christian McCaffrey, guys getting paid $3.4 million this year. You know, Jonathan Taylor was supposed to make $5 million. Cordarrelle Patterson, $5 million. Austin Eckler's only getting 7.7. So it's really going to be interesting when you look at some of those guys, especially a Christian McCaffrey. I'd be interested to see what his next contract is, but also he's the kind of guy where I don't know how that works. You know, if he's going to take less money, maybe more guaranteed money, but you know, a little different of a restructured contract. I know you can restructure those things very differently now, and you can give him a lot of signing bonuses and a lot of money up front and not necessarily pay it on the back end of the contract to be able to work around salary cap space. I know like the Chiefs are great at doing that with Patrick Mahomes. I think they just restructured his contract where he just gets a nice big fat signing bonus and they're able to free up a bunch of cap on the back end to be able to acquire players. So it's really going to be an interesting thing because three of the top six highest paid running backs in the league, three of them are on franchise tag. And what are they going to do if the market is less than they're going to make on a franchise tag? You almost have to take the franchise tag unless someone's going to give you a decent contract, whether that's front loaded, back loaded, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. But something's got to shift in the market to where these guys can guarantee their money and not have to necessarily worry about longevity, where teams are just going to really appreciate their value and give it to them in a different way. Because many teams can do it. It's just a matter of if they're willing to negotiate it.
And those guys are the guys that get, besides offensive, defensive linemen, the running back gets hit more than anybody in the game. And it's just a shame the way that they have completely went south on the way that they look at running backs and consider paying running backs. It's annoying to me.
Now, I'm asking y'all this question. Let's just say, Kevin, you got a son. Would you recommend your kids to play running back growing up now? Or it seemed like everybody's playing receiver or these a defensive end, or I don't know. The running back in the 90s was like the position to be in.
Yeah, because the game was completely different. The rule changes to where outside guys don't get bumped as much and all that stuff. With the rule changes, the game evolved into, hey, we can throw it more because now we got the leeway on the outside to where we can play more freer. Mm-hmm. Back then, you could grab them, mug them, give them a hug, so you weren't throwing the ball all over the place. And the game was built on big-ass dudes and a running back. And that's what the game was built on. Sure, you had some quarterbacks and stuff like that. But look back then. Teams that won, good-ass defenses, good-ass running game. Now, you can have a half-ass defense as long as you can go and score points. The game is just completely turned around and changed.
Yeah, that's true, man.
So. You don't have Dallas's anymore. Like, you don't have those Dallas teams. You don't even have those Broncos teams. Yeah, John Elway was the quarterback, but what did they do most of the time? They ran the freaking football. Terrell Davis. Yeah.
I mean, Mike Shanahan's pulling people off the street to run the ball and making them look successful on the cutback. So, I mean,
they ran those stretch plays, and their stretch zone running game made anybody look good. Like, people you never even heard of. You're like, that guy had 200 yards. What the
Alandis
hell?
Gary. Alandis exactly. Gary is a random name. Yeah, I'm
exactly.
Like, yo.
You're like, this guy's got 200 yards. How the hell did that happen? Exactly. But, like, even look at the old Baltimore teams. Baltimore teams, they just bring out the guy to run the ball and ran it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he won because they have a really, 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 really good defense, and they had Jamal Lewis. There you go.
You control the clock exactly. On offense and defense. If you can control the clock.
They looked at him and said, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So the Browns' outlook with him down, that's a big cog. But, they was in a close game. They just kind of blew it with the turnover at the end.
You said blew it. They went to the team with Deshaun Watson. Oh, sorry.
Oops. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I mean, this is the offense that's built like old style and have Deshaun Watson coming to his own and everything like that. So
he said coming to his own, too. Oh, God.
All right. I'm done talking about the Browns' outlook.
there's
puns everywhere.
What was their outlook? I mean, even with Nick Chubb, I mean, no one thought they were going to win that division, I don't think, right? So,
no.
They've been a middle of the pack team. They would have had these close games against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, but they wouldn't have really done much. I don't think the team's good enough. So, I don't think it would have made a difference. I mean, Amari Cooper's playing hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson hasn't played in a year. It there's a lot of other problems, and it just stinks that someone like Nick Chubb is done for the season. And I mean, who even knows what the guy's career outlook's going to be after an injury like that? And like I said, same knee he injured in college.
Yeah, so
you're, hoping, you're hoping the guy can still at least play. Never mind, come back next year. So, you know.
It was nasty.
That was
right. One of the ones Cortez wouldn't look at.
Yeah, no, and then I'm glad it didn't replay it either. But
Cortez has a phobia of looking at stuff like that. And then I would always make it a point to go, Cortez, look at this, and then sneak it in there. And then he's like, "Oh," and I'm like,
I remember when Sean Livingston blew out his knee in the NBA, and like from then on, I don't look at knee injuries. When someone says, "Oh, someone hurt their knee," I don't even care. I don't want to see it. I'll take your word for it.
I forgot which one I got Cortez on though. It was I think it was a basketball one, but I forgot which one it was. And I was like, Cortez, did you see this? And I tried to play it off as not something that was there. And I had it like fast forward right to the point. And then I hit it. Cortez goes, "Oh no!" You see?
Yeah, I think it was the Paul George injury.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That one was rough. I'm like, yeah. That's when I was living with you in Jacksonville. It was the Paul George injury. So
it was it that one or the kid from Louisville.
Oh, that one too.
That one was rough too. God.
I was like, his leg is sticking out of it.
I mean, kudos to Nick Chubb. I mean, guy took it like a champ. I mean, you know, I don't know if that's adrenaline or what, but I mean, you just hope he can come back because that's a hell of a football player, and you hate to see it happen that way.
When your leg points the opposite direction in which it should, it's never a good thing.
No, you're just not. Your body's not functionally supposed to do that. So. All right, well, let's move on to the next question here. Question is, who's got the most disappointing start? You got the 0-2 Chargers and the 0-2 Bengals. And, Kev, I want you to go first. Who's got the most disappointing start out of these two teams?
Both of them have injury concerns. Both of them are teams that everybody thought was going to do well. But right now, you got to give it to the Bengals, especially with how much money they gave into Joe Burrow. And I know Joe is still hurt and everything like that, and they should have never had him play to start the season. They should have just gave him some time, tried to let him rest, get him ready, and then go and try to hit it hard towards the middle part of the season. But right now you got to give it towards Cincinnati just because you paid that guy all that money, and now – you have nothing to show for it so far this year. The Chargers have had to play two pretty tough games, and then especially one without Eckler. So yeah, I'd say Cincinnati.
Gotcha, Paul.
Yeah, no, I'd piggyback that. I think, you know, like Kevin always says, is the Chargers are going to charge. It's just a matter of, you know, at what point of the game it happens. So they're one of those teams. They tend to come on a little later in the year before it. You know, doesn't necessarily matter. They might be able to start up in the division. But I think with Joe Burrow's contract that you just gave him going into week one, the weapons they have on offense, that guy barely thrown for 300 yards total in two games. And it's been pretty bad. I know they're a team that, you know, they're in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and people thought that they were going to really, really do something. And it's crazy that, like, you know, again, he's probably still playing hurt. I know he might have re-aggravated something, but he's looking a lot more like Andy Dalton than he is looking like Joe Burrow.
And yeah, he can't move.
Yeah, like, it's bad. It's really bad, and you hate to see it because, again, you don't want him to get hurt. That's a guy you just paid a whole lot of money to. But I for sure thought Cincinnati would be far better than they are those first two games.
Yeah, his – Joe's usually moving around the pocket, so he did re-aggravate that injury. And I get deja vu with the whole Kevin Durant and then now Aaron Rodgers with the calf strain that they have that can turn to Achilles.
So anybody would. That's my least favorite word is calf strain. Like,
yeah.
Okay, calf strains are not calf strains anymore. Calf strains are now Achilles strains. Yeah, like, so. it just bothers the hell out of me. Who else had one and then blew it out? Clay Thompson had one and blew it out. Somebody else had someone and blew it out. Like, it's getting scary now. And because these guys do so much and train so much and just do, it puts so much strain on their body. No one takes a break anymore. You know what I mean? No one just goes away and goes, hey, I'm going on vacation for 3 months. Then I'll come back and start training right before the season starts. Nah, these guys go full tilt all the time, and they've been doing it since they were kids. So the strain that they've been putting on their body, I think me and Cortez talked about this before with basketball and everything. The strain these guys put on their body year round is not how everybody used to do it. Like, it was, you did this for the amount of months you had it as a job, and then once you were over, you went away from it all, and you stayed away from it. And then you came back when training camp start. But these guys go at it full bore all year long now. And I think that's got a big reason to do why we see a lot of these injuries.
Nah, for sure. Listen, he's the cream of the crop, and you just got paid. And I don't know if it's just the pressure that he feels that he's got to live up to that contract. We already know what Joe Burrow can do when he's healthy. So I'd rather just sit the guy and think about this as a long-term investment for your career. We still want you to play football. I mean, I'm not risking with a calf strain. We got recent like events that shows you what a calf strain is and what it can turn into. It's just not worth it, man. Like, I know they start off 0-2. Just sit them down for a little bit longer. Let them rehab it up a little bit more, and you know, reevaluate in a few weeks and see where he's at. But obviously, he cannot move outside the pocket. His mobility is shot. You might as well just go ahead and just give him a little bit of a rest, because it's looking rough for him. So both teams are struggling, but I definitely thought Cincinnati would be one of those teams that's still an upper tier of challenge, like Kansas City or Buffalo or you know, some of these other teams that's supposed to be Super Bowl contenders. So I'm hoping that he sit down and rest, because I don't want to see another injury. And this football's already done. We know football is a sport that's a reward with risk type of deal. And already within the first 2 weeks, we didn't see two major injuries. So I'm really knocking on wood for, I know injuries happen. It's a part of the game, but I'm knocking on wood that we can avoid these major injuries. And I know it's a part of the game, but it just sucks to see two, one, and then one possibly could be worse if he doesn't sit down and rest it. So we'll just see where it goes. All right. Next segment is, how do you assess your team performance this week? And let's start with Paul. He's in the winner circle, so let's start with the winner.
Well, about halftime, I saw it was 21-0. And I realized that we were outscored about, 65-0 in three halves. So I went to Halloween Horror Nights. And once I arrived, just for whatever reason, I checked the score. And it was 28-21, 28-28, 31-20. I mean, wait, what is happening right now? I don't know what kind of speech they gave at halftime. I don't know what happened. I know it was the Arizona Cardinals, and I know we were joking about them that was kind of it was supposed to be a gimme game with the schedule. Like, oh, you're playing the Cardinals, not a big deal. Joshua Dobbs, that first half looked like, I don't even know. I don't know where that came from. But hey, luckily at the end of the day, you know, everything kind of went the way I wanted to. I wish we could play two clean halves of football. And I wish you wouldn't have to rely on something crazy like that to happen. But the defense stepped up. The offense, Daniel Jones did everything in his power to do what he had to do. Darren Waller showed up a little bit. We had some huge catches by our rookie. Saquon caught a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. So it was a lot right before he got hurt, obviously. But, you know, a lot of things were happening there. And it shows, like, if it's clicking – and they run the offense the right way, and they protect the damn quarterback, and he's not running for his life for three downs, and you punt, there's some possibility there. Now, you know, am I like, oh yeah, we're good? No, I want to. We're going into a short week now. We play on Thursday night against San Francisco, so we'll see what happens. But it's nice to get on the board there and be 1-1 and not be the only 0-2 team in the division. So you know, I'm proud of the guys for fighting. It was a hell of a win, hell of a battle, and I think it showed a lot of character in those guys because it was very easy just to be blown out like that and not do anything. And you know, I was really proud and excited to see that comeback happen. Now, I don't know what's going to happen on Thursday. It might go right back to being ugly again, but at least I know they got some fight in them. And you know, that Dallas game was – the weather was bad. It was – that defense is gross. So, you know, a lot of factors in there, but, you know, kudos to the Giants for fighting and sticking with it.
Absolutely.
Somebody said there was a play calling change at halftime for those guys. That the head coach said, I got it now. And he started calling the plays after halftime.
Well, good on Brian Daboll if that's the case.
Which I would have wished happened in my game because offensive, there was no offense to be seen in Jacksonville. The O just completely left. Bye-bye. See you later. When you hold Kansas City to that many points, 17, to Denver Bronco numbers, 17, when you hold them to that low, you should beat them. When you turn them over 3 times, you should beat them. But when you can't score in the red zone on 4 opportunities going in there, you can't even score a touchdown from the 1-yard line, you deserve to lose. And that's what happened. The execution was not there. And I wish Brian Daboll would have called the offense because maybe we would have done something with it.
I mean, you could have probably called the offense. I think you
Madden skills. Look here. When you're on the 1-yard line and you drafted a dude named Tank Bigsby, he literally has it in his name. His name is Tank. This is the reason why you drafted him. Try to run it with him one time. Just once. See what it does. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Instead, we tried to run a quarterback sweep to the outside where there was 4 guys standing there waving, going, hello, how are you today? You're fine.
Yeah, your game's a tough one because, if you look at the box score, you'd think Jacksonville won that football game. Easy. 17 points by Kansas City. 3 turnovers. Kelce only had 4 catches. Like, you would think that was a pretty lopsided game. And it's crazy to think that you just couldn't get it in the end zone.
The defense was outstanding. The defense was outstanding. Like, if you would have told me this is the way the defense was going to look for the first 2 games, I would have signed up for it right away, especially if you would have gave me the offense that we had at the end of last year. Now it seems the offense forgot to show up. And the bad part is, Peterson, Doug is a great coach, but he has this big soft spot for the dude that's play calling the plays, Press Taylor. Okay, that's the reason why I got ran out of Philadelphia was because you were too loyal to Press Taylor. It's time to stop being loyal to Press Taylor and to start being loyal to your team. Call the damn plays. Be damned if he – let him go get a job somewhere else on his own. I don't care. We don't care about that job security. We care about you got a good team, go and win football game.
I was definitely – thought y'all had that within reach, and the game was close for a little bit, and I was definitely ruining y'all to pull it off. But Kansas City is one of those weird teams that – they'll do stuff like that, man.
And then on 4th down, you don't fucking kick a field goal to make it a 5-point game with 5 minutes left and you have 3 timeouts and your defense is playing the way they're playing. No, you fucking try to go for it. What kind of stupid ass thing are you doing? Like, it literally could have been a 5-point game with 5 minutes left and your defense has already stopped them a whole bunch. And you've had a long drive, you kick the field goal, which you're going to make because Brandon hasn't missed anything, And instead, you fucking go for it. Stupid Sunday. And you ain't been good on offense all day long. But let's go for it on fourth down. What the hell? Stuck.
Oh, man. Well, hey, buddy. It could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
Hey, but, you know, at least you scored over 16 points.
Listen, man. This was the Super Bowl champion that y'all played and made a dog fight. So, I mean, I give y'all credit. But since we're talking about defense, the Broncos was up 21-3 in halftime. Looked like it was in cruise mode. It was nice to go. But it's funny. I was at work kind of listening to the game. And like, hey, man, I see the Broncos up 21-3. Like, they're going to get their first win. I said, wait a minute. This is the Denver Broncos we're talking about. They will find a way to make this a competitive game. I'm not convinced that they're going to win this game. Until this clock hit all them zeros, the Broncos will win the game. Wrong. Russell looks solid. He looks solid. Like, Russell has been great the past 2 weeks. He's not the problem. Him and Sean Payton has developed this cohesion so far. Even with his, you know, receivers that's been down. I know there's a lot of flack. Russell is the easy one to blame. But it's our defense. It's our defense. I mean, I don't know. We changed from Ejiro to Vance Joseph, who used to coach the Broncos. And then, like, when he was there as the head coach, we're doing pass interference. We're doing holding calls. We're looking sloppy. Sam Howell's looking like, oh, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think Sam Howell's going to be a solid quarterback, but goodness gracious, man. I'm sitting here trying to figure it out. Like, this is a team that is known for its defense. Our defense is not hurt. A lot of our receivers are hurt. I mean, our running back just came off a major injury, and he's still trying to get into the groove. But my defense has no excuse. So when I see that they lost the game 35-33, and that Hail Mary, even I was like, I should have been happy, but I just kind of like, whatever. And then I know there could have been a potential defensive pass interference. But at that point, you was up 21-3. So I don't care less about a missed call. It shouldn't have got to that point. You was up 21-3 at halftime. This is a Broncos defense last year that had 26 points through two games. They held teams to 26 points. You have the Las Vegas Raiders and the Washington Commanders within two games that scored 52 points on you. Guess who they got coming up next? Miami. I thought about going to the game. I don't want to go to the game. I got friends that are Dolphin fans. I do not want to go to the game because that offense got Tyreek Hill, got Tua, who's looking amazing right now. Listen, I'm scared of this offense, and you want me to pay my hard-earned money to go watch them get stumped down in Miami, which that's a boring drive to go down there in the first place? No, I do not want to go see them blow out. I mean, listen, Denver's got some chances to make some catch up in the schedule because after that, they got Chicago. They're at Chicago. And then they're playing the Jets, who's got a great defense. And the Jets beat us last year with Zach Wilson. So that's not even a guaranteed victory because I saw this last year when they had Zach Wilson who came through and beat us. They beat us in New York. So now they're coming to Denver. And so that's not even a guaranteed win because Zach Wilson came and had a decent game against us last year. So I'm just really trying to figure out what's on my football team on the defensive side of the ball. The offense is fine. I know Russell's going to get a flag. It's easy to blame Russell. It's easy to blame him, but he's not the problem. Right now, he's doing the best he can. And last year, I said Russell was the problem. And Kevin can attest to that. I was blaming Russell a lot. I was blaming Nathaniel Hackett a lot. This offense is trash.
There you go. You got it the second time. You blamed the right person on the second one that you said right there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I said,
because he's getting blamed for all this shit that's going on elsewhere now.
Yeah, that's the difference between this year and last year is Nathaniel Hackett's on the Jets now. So
exactly. Fucking terrible.
Well, we switched Nathaniel Hackett. Well, we switched Nathaniel Hackett on offense for Vance Joseph on defense. So I guess is that a wash? Because our defense is trash.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, that's kind of a stalemate right there.
Yeah, Ajura went to, I think he went to the 49. I can't remember where he went to, but he was, his buddy got fired. He wasn't sticking around. We begged Ajura to stay. Listen, we'll pay you money to stay. And then Rex Ryan get on TV calling out the Broncos defense. I guess Sean Payton must have passed him up.
Rex Ryan wants a job.
Yeah.
That's what Rex Ryan
wants. Well, listen, we gave Vance Joseph, we gave him a shot because he's a coordinator. And he's a defensive coordinator. But right now, he's having a little bit of struggles right now with his defense. So, Miami is coming up. Your defense is going to be on all gears. We'll see if they pull up the upset. But I'm highly doubtful of that. So, but as always.
What he's saying is he is not picking Denver.
Go Broncos. As I grit my teeth saying that. Go Broncos. I still love you guys. It's a love-hate relationship, and I'm just trying to find my way, and hopefully y'all guys come back strong. So I'm done ranting about my football team. Let's move on.
I think the Broncos still have to pay Nathaniel Hackett, too. I think that's part of the deal, too. I think he's still being paid by you guys.
Well, if you go to Walmart and if you see the great value stuff go up, you know why.
Nathaniel Hackett shouldn't be paid by anyone.
I'm just saying, you go to Walmart, you see how the generic brand goes up. You know why? We got to pay these Broncos players' salary.
Great value, $7. What the fuck?
Hey, I'm probably going to get a tax on my paycheck because I work for Walmart, 20 cents. Like, whoa, some different Bronco tax.
Wait a minute. Why has my own TV went up in price? Wait a minute.
Al Cortez, your 10% discount for the store now go to 5%. Ah,
cool. No, you get 3.5% now.
Just to give you an idea, last year Nathaniel Hackett allegedly made $4 million. He's making more money than Christian McCaffrey this year to play football.
Nathaniel Hackett stole $4 million. Let's put it the right way. Nathaniel Hackett has been stealing money in the NFL since he got there.
Well, Walmart has normally made bad investments before, so
that's a bad investment.
Don't fire me, Walmart. I love you guys. Y'all pay my paychecks, so. All right, next question here.
At least you'll never be fired for being mediocre.
Yeah. Facts. All right, player of the week. Who is invited to the barbecue for week 2? Paul, go first. Who's invited to the barbecue?
Let me tell you right now who's coming to the barbecue. First half of the game, my man was the blandest potato salad you had ever had in your whole life. Then halftime happened, and he was the burnt ends. He was the steak. He was the filet mignon, all that good stuff. And that's my man, Danny Dimes. Danny Jones. 321 yards, 59 yards rushing, and 3 touchdowns. Man literally put the team on his back and just, you know, made it happen. So I'm proud of that guy. He's playing to show that he was worth the money he got paid. And that if he's given a little bit of protection and some good play calling, so be it against a bad team, it's still impressive. So I'm gonna give it to Daniel Jones. You know, almost 400 total yards and 3 touchdowns.
Gotcha. KC. Who's invited to the barbecue?
Well, we talked about this dude before not playing the first game for Kansas City. Well, he fucking played this game, and Chris Jones ate our fucking lunch. So he's invited to the barbecue to eat some more lunch because he ate them boys for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
All right, good choice. Good choice. I'm sorry you lost, but it's still screw the Chiefs.
Shit.
Hey, come meet my friend Owen too. We'll have a conversation. All right, so who's invited to the barbecue? Let's see, I got some nice slab ribs on there. You got to do the mac and cheese and the pork and beans combo. You know, you can mix the mac and cheese and the pork and beans together. You got to get that chicken breast, let's sear with the barbecue sauce on it. This running back came in when Nick Chubb went down with an injury. I want to give Jerome Ford some love, man. Jerome Ford came in, and he rushed the ball pretty well for coming in that position as the team got shot. This guy had 16 rushes and 106 yards, 3 receptions, 25 yards, 1 touchdown. Yeah, and a loss to the Steelers wasn't his fault. There was a fumble that happened, and it went the other way. But he at least made that game competitive against a really good, you know, supposed to be a good Steelers defense. So, nonetheless, Jerome Ford, come get your plate, get a piece of
foil. Hold on. I'm changing my thing, and I'm going to a completely different day. I'm going to Saturday. I'm bringing the whole damn Florida Gator football team over to my barbecue for them whooping the shit out of Tennessee. That's who I'm bringing.
Heck yeah, man. What you putting on the grill for him, man? I know you got that smoker. What you going to put on the smoker for him, Kev?
Oh, the Gator. I don't give a shit. I'll do brisket. They get whatever the hell they want to. Them boys balled the fuck out.
Hey, shout out to the Florida Gators.
I got one honorable mention. We're going to have to bust off the booster seat to make him a little bit taller, but Baker Mayfield out in Tampa Bay.
Absolutely.
This guy, over 2 games, he ain't turning the ball over, but man's got almost 500 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, no turnovers in 2 games. So shout out to Baker Mayfield. Tampa's doing better than I thought they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he can tag along with Daniel Jones. Those two boys can come and hang out.
And Tampa's defense is, now I know they're older in the tooth, but they're playing ball right now.
They are.
And as the season goes along, there's something to look at. But right now they're playing ball in the freaking Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta Falcons get some love. Absolutely.
The Atlanta Falcons 2-0. I know it's early in the season and we're like, oh, this, but still, like Atlanta playing a little ball.
Hey, I'm going to shout out Josh Allen too. If y'all were going to choose Jerome Ford, I was going to put Josh Allen. Six incompletions, no turnovers. I know it's the Raiders, but apparently I know it's one game as well. But he heard the criticisms and took it to a team that they should have beat. And 31 for 37, 3 touchdowns. So shout out to him too. But that's on a week-to-week basis. We got to make sure if Josh Allen's going to show up on a consistent basis like this and not turn over the ball. But hey, against the Las Vegas Raiders, he did his thing. So, yeah. All right. Good. Hey, good segment there. We got a lot of plates we got to give out for the barbecue. So. We got to show some love, especially Kevin. He invited the whole Gators team. So
yeah, I got 94 plates to make.
Exactly. So we're going to have to definitely get some plates.
And
ready,
the coach. And all the 130 coaches that they got.
Absolutely, man.
Did you hear what they did during the week, though? I know we're going off on some. During the week, they had Brandon Spikes. He's like a assistant coach there now or something. They said all week long they gave him the job of just going around and telling people what this rivalry meant. One of the players said all Brandon Spikes did was yell at us, beat Tennessee. He didn't even call plays the whole entire practice. He just walked around yelling, beat Tennessee, beat Tennessee, beat Tennessee. And I was like, oh, my God. Can you imagine Brandon Spike just coming up to you and yelling in your face, beat
Tennessee?
That's
a big dude, man.
Be like, okay. You're like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen to that big corn-fed dude.
And we all know that the toothbrush was invented in Tennessee, correct?
Where is it going, Kev?
Because if it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called the teeth brush.
You stupid. All right. So we also going to pick our top 5 teams, NFL. P-Matt, who you got for your top 5 this week?
All right, changes up a little bit. So I'm still going to put the 49ers at 1.
Mm-hmm.
I will throw Let's see. I will throw Baltimore at 2. I'll put Miami at 3. I'll throw... Actually, sorry, I'll throw Dallas. Dallas at 2, Baltimore 3, Miami 4, and I'll go... I'll throw Philly in at 5.
Kev, who you got?
Basically the same thing. it's those five teams with an honorable mention to Tampa Bay and Atlanta.
My list is getting funky here. I got the Dolphins at 1, Cowboys at 2, 49ers at 3, the Ravens at 4, and Kevin shot them out already, but I'm shouting out the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons have been impressive. Tampa Bay is an honorable mention as well, too. They should be honorable as well. Eagles have been struggling to get to. I mean, they did what they're supposed to. They had that first half, and they kind of put it on the second half. So, but Eagles be they'll be in the top five within probably next week. But nonetheless, I'm gonna show the Falcons some love. So all the ATL Falcons, man, and Buck fans out there, y'all team's doing some real good things right now. So shout out to y'all football teams for sure. So.
And as far as Philly goes, just like I said last week, the Vikings stink.
Stinks. I thought my Broncos was bad. It could Dallas, be worse, I guess.
I know the Giants helped out a lot, but Dallas is outscoring their opponent 70-10. So I mean, kudos to the Cowboys. We'll see if that holds up, but sweet Jesus.
All right, guys. I ain't gonna lie, I forgot to tally up our week 2 totals or what our record is. So
good.
That's my fault. But Mr. Paul Mack is going to review FAM, which is our podcast in this segment here. He's gonna give a tally. I'm gonna give him that responsibility. And then we'll go from there. But Paul won in week 1. So I sent a tweet out who won in week 2. And we're going to go into week 3 and start with picks there. So we're going to go with a Thursday game. This is on Prime Video. This is the 1-1 Giants is on the road going to Levi Stadium to the 49ers. Kev, you go first. I'm going to let Paul go last on this one.
San Fran.
Sorry, Paul. I'm going to go San Francisco.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Levi Stadium at San Francisco. Coming off it's a short week for both of them, but the Giants just literally gave everything they had to beat the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm going to take San Francisco. Hope they prove me wrong.
Absolutely. I know you want to be proved
wrong. If the 49ers, so. if the Giants somehow beat the 49ers on next Tuesday's podcast, I will wear double denim in honor of Levi Stadium.
Hey, want to see it. There it is. So now we got a little rooting interest for the Giants to win.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about that.
It'd be a lot of denim, too.
Yeah.
Nice. With the sunglasses, too, right?
Always.
Definitely. Let's move into our Sunday slate of football games. 1 o'clock game starting off. The Colts is at the Ravens. Ravens go 3-0.
Yeah, Ravens.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson's out probably. I think he's in concussion protocol. So I'll take Baltimore.
He didn't listen to it at all.
No.
Is it Gardner? Is it Gardner Minshew?
Minshew.
It is Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, the Jacksonville Jaguar prodigy.
Dude. Yeah, he fucking sucks.
Next game. Nah, nothing has to be said. 1 o'clock, Titans at the Browns.
I'll take Tennessee.
Cleveland. Fuck the Titans.
Sorry, Kay. I know that you need your feelings, but the Titans will win this game.
I know.
The Falcons at the Lions.
Holy shit.
This could be a potential good game.
I'm going to take the Lions.
Yeah, I think this is a game that we kind of get to see who Detroit is. Like, this is a game they need to win. that you'd want to see him win to get back to, you know, 2-1. But that being said, I'm going to take Atlanta.
Okay. I'm going to go with Lions. I got Lions winning this one. 1 o'clock game, the Saints at the Packers. Right, we can get Saints no love either, huh? That whole NFC South division has got a couple 2-0 teams, huh?
Yeah, it's got two and zero, and one and one, and the other 0-2.
What, the Bucks? Saints?
No, they're all there's 3-3-0 teams: Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay.
I thought New Orleans was lost.
No, they won.
They won. Yeah, they're 2-0. Yeah, they're 2-0. That's what I say. Yeah, we ain't show the Saints no love.
Fuck those guys. Oh.
Well, that's why we ain't showing no love. Kevin,
I'll show them love right now. I'll take New Orleans.
Yeah, they beat Carolina. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
I'll take the Saints.
The Saints defense is really good too. So I know they took advantage of who they had to play against, but man, even the game before, like, these teams are not scoring. So the Saints defense to make it tough for Jordan Love and company. Oh, 1 o'clock game. 0-2 Texans at Jacksonville.
If we don't fucking win, I'm going to jump off a bridge.
Isn't this game always look tough for y'all anyways? Texans play y'all tough?
I always have problems with the damn Texans, but you're 1,000 times better than they are right now, and they don't have a fucking starting offensive line. All of them are hurt.
And that note, Jacksonville should win this game.
I'll take Jacksonville to rebound.
Not should. Yeah. They better.
All right, 1 o'clock game. Broncos at Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Fins up.
Dolphins are going to win this game. And this may be ugly by halftime. So, next game. Chargers at the Vikings.
Oh, here we go.
Holy
Minnesota
shit.
Stinkings.
Minnesota sucks. Chargers are going to charge. The Chargers are going to charge. Minnesota's going to Viking. Which one does it better? Let's see. I'll take the Chargers.
I'll take Minnesota just because I got Justin Jefferson.
Screw the Chargers. They go 0-3. Go Vikings. Patriots at the Jets. Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson.
Jesus Christ.
Paul, you just said it, bro. You just said it.
At least it's not in prime time. That's fine.
Yo, yeah. Patriots 0-2.
I'll take the Jets just because they have a better defense.
I'll take the Pats.
Jets get this game.
Pats.
All right, your last 1 o'clock game, Bills at Commanders.
I'm going to take Washington.
Oh, you feeling frisky, huh?
Going to take Washington.
I'm going to Bills.
I'm going Buffalo, and they're going to beat them bad. I'm talking two scores, Buffalo by two scores.
Hey, Buffalo actually going to hold on to the lead, unlike Denver. So. 4 o'clock games. The 0-2 Panthers at the 1-1 Seahawks.
So we're Bryce talking Young about the 0-
game.
So we're talking about the 0-3 Panthers.
No chance. I'm taking
the Seahawks.
Yeah, I got Seattle.
Yep, across the board, Seattle. 4:25. The Cowboys at the Cardinals. Oh my goodness.
Poor Josh Dobbs this game. Oh, Jesus.
Holy shit. So this means the first three games, Dallas is going to be up like 90-17 probably as far as points scored and points given up.
Ooh. Point differential is going to be crazy for the next three weeks for the Cowboys.
They're going to own that tiebreaker at the end of the year over everybody.
Goodness gracious, man. Yeah, Cowboys in the blowout.
Dallas big.
It's like, and we give Cowboys fans false hope. We're going to the Super Bowl. Well, you
bitch, y'all play three teams that no.
I'm with you. I'm with you. They got to pump the brakes. So, but hey, dude, take a part of your schedule. That's what you're supposed to win these games. So, Cowboys win this game. All right, the 0-2 Bears at the Chiefs. Oh my God, Chiefs in the domination. And I hate, I heard Herman to say that.
Honestly, I think it's going to be closer than you think it's going to be. But Kansas City's at home; they're getting healthier. Kansas City.
Gotcha. What I've noticed with the Chiefs though, is it's something's off. Like there's just little, there's nicks and chinks in the armor. Because something's off with them. Just watching them the first 2 weeks, something it's a little screwy. I know Kelsey's trying to get back into things, but they just look a little off on offense. It's just something ain't right.
Well, that whole Kelsey's running around with Taylor Swift, man. He has to shake it off and get back on the field.
Hey, that too, and Chris Jones has kind of proved this point. Like, oh, y'all need me, so pay me. I mean, you know, it's 1 year, but. He kind of laughed and like, I come back and play. So, but yeah, nah, Kevin, I agree. Something is all with Kansas City. They use a little bit glow about him. Patrick Mahomes is a little bit more irritated than usual nowadays. So, which is nice to see. So, 8:20 game. The Steelers at the Raiders. This is your primetime game.
God damn. What the fuck were they doing?
This is your primetime game.
What the fuck?
Because they got two games on Monday night again, so they're just filling it up.
Oh, yeah, they do got two. Oh, my gosh, it's crazy.
See, you know the reason why they got two Monday night games now, right?
Why?
And because of that fucking writer's strike.
Oh, yeah.
They have no TV shows to put on now, so now they're like, okay, we're just going to put football on the channel.
I'd rather watch Bachelor reruns than watch some of these games. The two games yesterday were terrible.
I'd rather watch Big Bang Theory.
You do right. They got one on ABC and one on ESPN, so that can make sense. By the way, Steelers will win this game.
That's what they're doing now. Because ABC doesn't have no shows to put up. But I'm on FIFA with the Steelers.
Did y'all see the end of that game where the Steelers fans were booing to fire the offensive coordinator? They do not like that guy at all.
No, he's named after Nathaniel Hackett. Nobody likes him at all.
Yeah, true. But also TJ Watt's on pace to get like 30 sacks this year. So, their defense is just better. I'm gonna take Pittsburgh.
Kev, you made your pick. I didn't hear you do all that or not.
Yeah, so. I said Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I said Pittsburgh.
All right, your Monday night games on ABC, 2-0 Eagles at the 2-0 Buccaneers. Let's see why this is on ABC. It's got potential to be a decent game. Eagles have been struggling, man. They're kind of weird. They're kind of weird. I can see the Bucs pulling this off. They're at home, too. They're Raymond James. Bucs will win this game. One of my buddies.
Hold on. We say they're at home. But there are probably going to be more Eagle fans there than there are Buccaneer fans because they all live there now.
Yep. That's what I just thought in my head. My buddy's a Philly fan. So, yeah. You going to Eagles? Okay.
I'm going to take Tampa in the upset.
Yeah.
Defense is playing really, really well. So, if everybody stays healthy and nothing crazy happens, I think there's going to be a play here, play there. As long as Baker Mayfield didn't turn the ball over, he keeps just managing the game. Do we got to do? I think the Bucs can squeak out a close one.
Well, the Eagles been getting up to these slow starts. That's why I'm kind of skeptical.
Evans is playing for a contract. Jesus.
Hey, pay me. Pay me, Mike Evans. The Bucs ain't going to do it. Somebody else will.
Oh, yeah.
Bucs better pay that man.
That man's playing for a contract.
That man should be a lifelong Buccaneer. Tampa Bay is stupid. They don't pay this guy. So.
Well, we've known them to do stupid things.
Yeah, we have being
like most Tampa, like most Tampa Bay franchises.
Yeah,
they don't care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they'll build a stadium in St. Pete
that nobody will go to.
Oh, jab at the Tampa Bay Rays. Nice. All right, your last primetime game on 8:15. The Rams at the Bengals. Ooh, man. I can see why this on ESPN.
I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, Rams.
Something's really going on with the Bengals. They can't. They're not healthy.
They're that team. They're like that meme where like you're poking them with a stick to like show you something. Like
that's what
the Bengals are right now. Yeah, that's the Bengals right now.
Do something. Yeah. So the Rams will win that game. So all right. Well, that completes that. Anything else we want to add, Kev? I know you. Did you want to elaborate a little bit more on the Gator game? Or
no, it was college football so far this year has been weird. It's just all these great dominant teams and nobody looked great or dominant. You had everybody hype up FSU, almost got beat by Boston College. Freaking Alabama goes to USF and only scores 17 points.
It's crazy.
Georgia's not lighting the world on fire right now either. USC's not lighting the world on fire. Michigan is, even though I hate to admit that shit, Michigan is doing well. Ohio State, really not lighting the world on fire. Texas is playing well, but they're Texas. They'll do what the Chargers do, and they'll end up texting something. So it's a weird college football year. So far, it's kind of not the way everybody thought it was going to be.
You're not going to talk about Colorado?
I love Colorado. I love it. I love that Deion Sanders has pissed everybody off enough to where they just get mad. But yet, it was one of the most streamed football games ever.
That was
the game against Colorado State. And what was funny is the guy from Colorado State goes, "Well, I take my hat off." And who gives a shit what the man does? Y'all got to learn. Don't say shit going in the fucking week of the Colorado game. Don't say anything. Because anything you say, Deion Sanders is going to be like, "Look, they made it personal." And then they go out and do that shit. But Deion is not a good coach. I'm just going to say it. He's not a good coach. What he is good at is surrounding himself with good coaches and being the ambassador and being the figurehead for that team and being the reason why those kids want to come and being good at giving those speeches and making you feel like that everybody is against you. That is what Deion Sanders is good at. Deion Sanders has always been good at being a hype man. Whether it was for himself, for his team, or anything like that. But Deion now as a coach, he's done a great job as assembling a coaching staff that is going to do the work for him. That way he can do all the other work, which is bring in all of the kids. And the funny part is he already told his kids, "Y'all ain't going pro next year. Y'all staying here."
Yeah. Shador's a hell of a quarterback.
But here's the thing. The only reason you go pro is for what reason?
You guarantee you pay him top pick, one of the top picks.
He is Deion Sanders' kid. He is making $4 million in NIL money at Colorado.
Oh, he's perfect.
There is no reason to go pro right now.
Nope, I wouldn't.
Especially if shitty-ass teams are up at the top of the draft.
Can I add on to signing that Colorado State game? I know the Blackburn, the safety, a linebacker kid that hit Travis Hunter. I hope he get well soon. Everybody else that's sending death threats to this guy and saying
that you're fucking idiots
here and lose the scholarship. Let me just say, don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, he should be suspended for like a game because I believe that he did not make a play on the football. But Jesus, man, this is football. Anybody that plays football knows that this happened from time to time in an intense rival. We're not finna risk a young man's scholarship. That is pretty much a common thing that happened. I'm sorry that Travis Hunter got hurt. He should be suspended for one game. But talk about losing a man's scholarship and get this man address and start threatening his family. Just totally bogus, man. We need to do better. We need to do better.
But Deion, right? Deion even came out and said, "Hey, y'all leave
with
him
class.
Alone.
With yeah, class. He handled it with class. With and I give him mad respect.
He's a good kid. He's a good football player. Leave him alone.
Absolutely. Also, handle it with class.
That's all those things where those are people who never played football before. They don't know that it's just – they don't know about the emotion of being on the field. They don't know about all the trash talk leading into that game. They don't know about all that stuff. You're trying to make a play. I mean, it's going to happen. Those kind of things happen all the time. It just sucks that it was, you know, to a kid who was obviously in the spotlight of that team. He's the second best player on that football team. Might even be the first best because he plays offense and defense. But I mean, you hate to see it, but yeah, you're not going to take away a kid's
guys
for making a play like that. No, it's not.
We all play sports, right? So when you hear that one team that get all this notoriety and get all this sunshine and play and everything like that, you get more amped up for the game. I play football all the time. We play Lakeland Dreadnoughts, who's been one of the best teams in the nation. All you hear is Lakeland, Bill Castle. They've been doing this for years. We get amped up for that game because we get sick and tired of hearing about them. This is what happened to Colorado State. They got sick and tired of hearing about them.
But the difference is y'all get amped up for the game down there against Lakeland, and y'all are only amped for like 10 minutes.
The bus ride over, yeah.
Yeah, because once you see Lakeland, you're like – fuck.
Listen, man, I was just trying to make an example. Y'all ain't got to give me the figure, the example. I know what happened. It sucks.
That's okay? like when people get hyped for playing St. Thomas Aquinas.
And they run people out of the building. They run people out of the building.
Or now it's what? IMG.
IMG. Or Mount Verde Academy. All them two there. They run you out of the building. But you hear about them so much that you get emmed up for this. Deion team has been in the spotlight. Colorado's been in the spotlight. This is a team that had one year all last year. So Colorado State got amped up. They ready. Hey, that's what? This is our chance to come on and make a noise.
I just imagine Cortez's ride to Lakeland is like Bishop Sycamore going into IMG Academy.
Well, listen, man, we actually had a good football team
over there, and then the Pouncey Twins get off the bus.
You know, they were a year under me, so I think we had to play them. But
yeah,
the
Twins got off the bus, and Cortez like, fuck y'all.
But I would say this, our JV team, we beat them. We beat them by like 30 points. I'm like, okay, going into our junior year, we're finna play them. We've been doing JV.
It's because Lakeland's JV when y'all played were actually third graders.
Hey, let me tell you, we were so in the locker room, right? They had like a thunderstorm at delaying the game. Everybody's like, man, we want to go back out there. I'm looking like, man, they're up by like three touchdowns. Y'all want to go back out there? I want to go home and play Xbox. I don't want to deal with this no more. Just get me back on the bus.
We got a better shot of being hit by lightning than going to win this football game.
Cortez said, I want to go play hell. Y'all want to go play football? Hell no. I want to go play Halo.
I'm ready to go home, man. Come on, man. Give me my Debbie case, some pizza, and take it to the house. Like this is over with. All right, good enough. I think we're wrapping up here. Oh, Paul, before we go, any underdog stuff?
I didn't even check. I'll post some stuff closer to Thursday. It's hard to do it this far out because that stuff changes all the time. So I'll probably post something going into the Thursday game and then going into the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock game. So. Just follow the socials, and I'll post some stuff on there. It's too hard to do it right now. It's too far out, but those lines always change. So we'll get something going.
Say no more.
Paul, Cortez, what's wrong with you? I ain't going my fuck back out there. I'm going home.
Ma, come get me, man. Get the Astro van ready. I'm ready to go home. I know you're here watching the game. Take me back to the house. I ain't catching the bus back to Arbordale.
If you really love me, you just come get me right now.
Did anyone see Chris Rainey run by? Anyone see?
Done, man. I'm done. All right. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Every Tuesday, we do this show. And I'm glad we got Kevin on today. So anyway, let's give me your Twitter, at names.
It's not Kev. Twitter. I'll go give them my X name. Kevin C 2415. Pretty soon, none of us are going to have X because I'd be damned if I'm paying for that shit.
I saw that. Ridiculous. Paul?
@_Paul_Mac on X or @PaulMac520 on Instagram. Follow. Have some fun. Engage. Let's get ready for another good weekend of football. It's probably only about a handful of games that are worth something, but that's why we're here.
Gotcha. On that, you can follow me at @EndOfMineCP. in case they do start charging for Etz. I move to Threads.
And you can find him on OnlyFans at
nobody wants
at sexualdarkchocolate.com.
Well, you know they call
in your court.
Well, you know they got a nickname for me over here called Marcus Midnight, so that's probably what it'll be.
Balls are balls are in your mouth.com.
Marcus Midnight. So you can find me
at Marcus Midnight. Oh, yeah, Marcus Midnight. I forgot that's his karaoke name.
Yeah, that's my karaoke name. So
where he sings zombies.
His name's gonna just be a symbol soon, like Prince.
So you can find me at in the minus CP.
Zombie.
Oh, hell no. Balls Not Court podcast on Anchor. You go to anchor.fm Cortez-Paul. On Twitter, we're at BIOC Podcast. On Facebook, we're at Balls Not Court Podcast. Instagram, BIOC Podcast. You can also go to, actually, I have a new link I'm going to everybody to add to. I got taught this. So the website is buymeacoffee.com/BIOC Podcast. If you like this content, you can donate money to that website. That'll help with the show. So
shout out Spotify for having video. Yeah.
Absolutely. Shout out to Spotify. We're on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Speaker, Windows, Spotify, Anchor, or as Kevin liked to say.
Wherever you listen to us before, just go back there again. And if you go and donate money, I can actually afford to get a laptop.
There it is. So we can see his face. We're gonna help him out with that though.
And if you're already subscribed, unsubscribe and resubscribe again.
That's right. So yeah, go to YouTube and subscribe. So nonetheless, guys, thanks for listening. Speaking for Paul, Matt, Kevin, Carter, and Cortez Paul. Enjoy the rest of y'all evening. Take care.
Peace.